I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. I would like to consider this morning a few verses out of the latter part of chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And then in the second service, I would like to pick up in chapter 10 of Matthew and look at verses 1 to 15. I considered dealing with this entire passage of Scripture in one service and then truly felt impressed of the Lord not to do that. There were some truths that I wanted us to consider. And I'll do the first portion. Matthew chapter 9. Let me just read verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, it's marvelous to just read and consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God made flesh, dwelling among men. And that which he did was preach the gospel. That's what he did. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, as he went, the scripture sets forth this marvelous truth. In verse 36, it starts off with this word, but. He was going about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Now, it would stand to reason that when he was going about in verse 35, all the villages, the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people, there were people there. There were people listening to the Lord. He was preaching and teaching. And there were people that were listening. But something changes in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The multitudes that he looked upon and had compassion, there was a particular emphasis put in that verse upon the multitudes that he saw. And the scripture says, when he saw them, he had compassion. He was moved with compassion. Now, I know this. Moses asked the Lord a special request. Would you show me your glory? Would you show me that which is your pleasure? That which moves you? And this is what the Lord said, Exodus 33:19. My glory is to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So as the Lord was going about in verse 35, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sicknesses, the diseases, there was a group of people referred to here as the multitudes. And when He saw them, He was moved with compassion. You remember when the Lord was being crucified, and there were many that were there that day. A lot of them were just wagging their heads. He saved others. Himself He can't save. Yeah. He called out. He said He's calling for Elijah. Maybe Elijah will come and help Him. Making fun of Him. But the Lord made this statement. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me ask you this. Based on this part of His prayer in John 17, verse 9, He said, I pray for them that Thou hast given Me. I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that You've given Me. Whenever the Lord said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, who do you think He was praying for? He was praying for, just like these, the multitudes that moved Him to compassion. He was praying for those that He had everlastingly loved. He was praying for His sheep. When He was there, preaching, teaching in the synagogues, the cities, the villages, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the Scripture bears out, He saw some, referred to here as the multitudes, that moved Him to compassion. Moved Him to look upon them that He had everlastingly loved. He's not moved with compassion except on those that He will have compassion upon. His people. There were those in that place that obviously, and I'm going to show you how I know this, that did not yet know Him. But He knew them. They were in the multitudes upon whom passion was shown. But they had fallen in Adam. They were fallen creatures, but creatures of His mercy, vessels of mercy, lost sheep that ravished His heart with one look out of Song of Solomon. From their eyes. There were in the multitudes those that had He had compassion on who were of His bride. Those that the Father had given them, those that He had betrothed Himself to, and His heart burned for them. But here's the reason. Verse 36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Scriptures bears out that He looked upon these that He had everlastingly loved. And there's the key to it right there. Now, without that word of Him having compassion upon them, I wouldn't know who they were. But I can tell you this. based on His word, I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whomsoever I will. When the Lord is pleased to show mercy and compassion, let me tell you what He's going to do. He's going to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. And that which He's pleased to do is going to be brought to fruition. He's going to have that which He's everlastingly loved, pleased. But here they were. He saw them as He was preaching and He recognized them. He's always known them. They've always been His. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. He looked on them and here's what was happening to them. They fainted. It is, they were burdened with the ceremonies of religion and the traditions of men. He watched them, saw them where they were, sinking down under the weight of their hopelessness and ignorance. Here they were, His own. Frail creatures of the dust that He had everlastingly loved and had compassion upon and not ready to die. They weren't ready to die. Here they were being abused by these Pharisees, these false teachers, loving to hear what they were hearing, loving to have their ears tickled. I'm going to tell you something. I'll go back and let me just put myself in their position. Before the Lord was pleased to call me out of darkness, and I was sitting under false religion, and I loved it. I loved to hear what I was hearing. I believed it. I was, you know. But to know that the Lord would look upon me in that state, I didn't know Him. I didn't know Him. And that Almighty God would look upon me and have compassion upon me and see me in that state, fainting. And the Scripture says they were scattered abroad. Now, I do know this, that God's sheep are referred to as the scattered. Out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. James said this in James 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. The 12, the spiritual tribes of Israel that are scattered abroad. Out of all the places in the earth. Just think, Almighty God, out of every nation, people, tribe, and tongue, has a people. Out of all these places, out of every family, out of every nation, every community, God's got a people He's going to save. And they're scattered. I understand that. But this word right here, that they fainted, burdened down, hearing what they were hearing, listening to the preaching that they were listening to. I know something about this. And scattered. Laid to the side with no sympathy from those that preached to them. No one watching for their souls. That's what it means. He had compassion upon them because they fainted and were scattered. Oh, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Beholding those that He's eternally loved, those that He's had compassion upon before they ever knew Him, before they ever heard the gospel, before the Spirit of God ever called them out of darkness, the Lord said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've always loved you. Who are these multitudes that he had compassion upon? I'll tell you who they are. They're the blind Bartimaeuses that's on the side of the road. It's sitting there, by the grace of God, hears someone say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And the Spirit of God says to blind Bartimaeus, that's not just a man. That's the Messiah. And blind Bartimaeus, by the grace of God, cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. These multitudes that he has compassion upon, I'll tell you who they are. They're the Zacchaeuses that by the grace of God, Almighty God, would move grace before grace, prevenient grace, and would move Zacchaeus to climb up in a sycamore tree. And the Lord would pass that way. The Lord knew where Zacchaeus was. The Lord put Zacchaeus up that tree. And the Lord passed right underneath that man and stopped and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And told those that started murmuring, he'd go into the house of a publican, a tax collector. And he said, salvation has come to this house today. For this man right here is the son of Abraham. This is one of my own. Who are these multitudes that he has compassion upon? It's like the woman with the issue of blood. And the Spirit of God would draw her to have a desire to say this, if I can get to him. If I can get to him. Not anything else. If I can get to him. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be whole. It would draw her. Who are these multitudes? It's vessels of mercy, just like me, that Almighty God would look upon me and have mercy and compassion on one such as I. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he, verse 37, unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Here's what he's saying. The harvest is plenteous. There's many, many that will be found in the harvest. There's many that I shall call by grace. How many are there? Well, the Lord said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, won't you look up? Won't you look at the stars? And tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. What? Just merely natural Jews? Just because Abraham was a Jew and natural Jews? No. The spiritual sons. The spiritual seed. How many will there be in the harvest? Revelation 7:9 says, a number which no man can number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Now, I'll tell you this. In any one given span of time, in any one section of the ages, we look around and here's what the Scripture reveals there to be. A small remnant. Just a remnant. A remnant. Just, I've told you before, I remember as a kid watching my mama she'd make clothes and stuff like that, and go down to order the material, take a pattern, order the material, and it would say, like, you know, it's going to take 3 5/8 of a yard, whatever. When she got through, you could, a few little old strings, just a few little strings is all it is, just, you know, what was that, what's it good for? Nothing, just throw it out, just the remnants, that's all they are. That's the way Almighty God refers to His people. Unless the Lord had left us a small remnant out of the masses of humanity in any one given time, unless the Lord had left us a small remnant, an elect, a chosen people, those that He had eternally purposed, I'm going to have compassion on you. Was there anything in that remnant, that small remnant that God Almighty saw was worthy of Him showing compassion? What were they like? They're just like everybody else. Just rotten sinners. Dug out of the same pit. There wasn't one good thought that they ever had. There wasn't one good word that they'd ever spoken. But He said, I'm going to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. But out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, in any one period, there's that small remnant. And often you're going to find this to be so. I've witnessed this. Maybe one out of a family. Maybe one. Maybe two, maybe. But as a general rule, now you think, how many of you sitting here could say, my mama, I know I'm using you a lot, Granny, I'm sorry, but my mama had 11 brothers, there was 11 brothers and sisters, as far as I know. My dad, there was 9 brothers and sisters in my dad's family, 9 brothers and sisters. I'm going to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. Why would the Lord show mercy to one such as I or you by the grace of God? That's the only reason. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. The laborers, the preachers, those that He calls out for the preaching of the gospel. It's absolutely necessary to hear the preaching of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's free grace. These laborers, they're few. And I'll tell you this, when you ask them of the few that God calls out, those that minister, all of God's people are truly ministers. You may not stand behind a pulpit, but there's a place. There's a ministry. They're few. And they always see themselves, my experience has been that they always see themselves as weak, frail. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of the gospel. That Almighty God would teach us the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And not a whole lot. How hard is it to find a place? Just pick a state. Just pick a state. How many, as a general rule, places do you find where the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, where God Almighty gets all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, and the recipients of His mercy get none of it? How many places can you find in any one state? Not many. Not many. Somebody say, there's churches all over the place. I know that. And the Lord's preaching in a bunch of them. preaches in cities and villages and synagogues and teaching. But when he saw the multitudes, it's not that the Lord couldn't raise up great numbers of laborers. But I do know this. He raises up men according to His will, according to His purpose, His pleasure. His ways are not our ways. God was going to give Israel deliverance from the Midianites through a man named Gideon. You remember this story. I'll just tell you what happened for the sake of time. Started off, he had 32,000 men. 32,000 men. And the Lord said to Gideon, He said, that's too many. And here's the reason. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. The Lord told Gideon, He said, I want you to tell all the men, 32,000 of them there. That's what I want you to tell them. Any of y'all afraid, y'all go home. 22,000 left. 22,000 men were afraid. They left. Got 10,000 men left. And the Lord said, that's too many. Bring them down to the water and I shall give you my choice concerning the men. He said, let everybody go down there and get them a drink of water. 10,000 men went down to drink out of the water. Out of the 10,000 men, 300 of them went to the edge of the water and dipped their hand down in the water and brought their hand up and lapped like a dog the water. And all the others got down on their knees, the Scripture said, and put their mouth in the river and started drinking. The Lord said, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all the other people go, every man into his place. God's ways are not our ways. Few with God is much. How much you got here to eat? Well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Tell everybody to sit down. And the Lord blessed it. And Almighty God fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. And then they picked up the fragments, the stuff that was left over, 12 baskets. The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. What are we commanded to do? Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. What do we do? Despair? I just don't see very many preachers. I don't see many being raised up, young preachers. What do you do? Ask Him. Ask Him. He is the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. And He's telling them, He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. And you pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers. Now I can tell you in closing, the Lord has promised. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now the Lord's already promised that He's going to send preachers. How many preachers are there going to be? As many as Almighty God's pleased to send. He's going to call them out. He's going to teach them. He's going to qualify them. He's going to equip them spiritually. And He's going to send them exactly where He wants them to be. And they're going to preach the gospel. And how many is God going to call out? As many as He's everlastingly loved. All that the Father's given me, they're going to come to me. How many is going to be missing in the day of God's calling all of His people to Himself and the world and judgment? How many is going to be missing that He's everlastingly loved? None. None. But what do we do? He said, you pray. Last scripture, turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. I love this passage of scripture. Ezekiel 36. I'm going to read verses 28 to 37 and stop. Ezekiel 36, verse 28. Listen to the promise. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Now there's a promise. This is what you're going to do. He's going to send his people and he's going to send them into that place, a promised land. This is what he's going to do. This is what I'm going to do for you. You shall dwell. You shall be my people. I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. You shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities, your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. No, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities. The waste shall be builded. The desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then shall the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them, and I will increase them with men like a flock. You know what I know for a fact? I know for a fact that the Lord is going to bless the preaching of the gospel to the saving of His people. I know that. I know that the gospel is the power of God and salvation. I know that. I know that He's promised He's going to save His people. And you know what we do? We pray, Lord, would You bless the gospel? Lord, would You call out Your own? Would You save Your elect? Lord, would You have mercy upon us today for Christ's sake? Amen.